Yeah. I mean, I think in our, particularly in our society, I think that there's an assumption that pleasant things are good. Pleasant things are better than unpleasant things. So if you have a nicer house as opposed to a not as nice house, which one is better? Which one is more good? Well, the nicer house. If you have a job that you love, it's better than having a job that you don't like. One is more good than the other.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. I'm Ben, or Ben, depending on where you're from in the country. And I'm a former reluctant missionary.
And I'm Randy, or Randall, depending on which part of the world you're from. And I'm a former atheist turned missionary leader.
So we've been talking a lot about the theme of light. What have you recently discovered, in the Bible at least, about this theme of light?
In some of our previous discussions, we came to this section where Jesus said, you are light, or you are the light of the world. You know, he talked about us being like a lamp that's put on a hill and a candle that nobody puts under a thing. And so there was this idea that we were somehow light. And then this week, when I looked at John chapter 9, Jesus says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is, I don't know, for me, it was an interesting tangent for him to say, I'm the light of the world. And then for him to say, he's the light of the world. So that little section there around
Jesus. So who's the light of the world?
Sometimes I'm tempted to read the Bible from like a scientific point of view. That's kind of my background and my bent. So I almost, sometimes I'm tempted to look at it like a science book. So when he said, if you look at it as science, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, if you want to take him literal to a stupid extent, what does that mean?
That's a good question.
He's like a photon. He's a packet of photon particles or something, or he's a photon jet. I don't know. It's obviously, I guess what I'm thinking in my mind is he probably doesn't mean I'm a photon. I think he might be pointing to something else. And so for me, the whole exploring of this section was I sort of got to that statement where he says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And then I stopped to ask, what does he really mean? So then I went back up to the previous verses.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's talking about something physical. He's obviously, I think he means something spiritual. But what does he mean spiritually by I'm the light of the world? But also he's in this, in the context here. I mean, he's doing very physical things with people.
So if we scroll back up now, that's like verse 5. If we just scroll up a little bit and go through with that statement in mind, it says, and as Jesus went away, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And so where did light play into that equation?
Yeah, he saw something.
So Jesus saw it. Did he see the light? No, he didn't see the light. He saw the man who was blind from birth. So then it says, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? So what was this man lacking?
Sight.
Sight. What is sight? How does light relate to that?
He lacked the capacity to see something and transfer it to his brain, switch it around and to interpret it into, you know, a physical object of some sorts. Is that what you're referring to?
I don't know. I was hoping that you'd have a smart answer.
No, but I don't have a smart answer for that.
So I guess the notion is then, where does light play into this? Well, this man does not have the ability to receive light in a way that allows him to process the way quote unquote normal people do. So this man is lacking the ability to receive light and make sense out of it, I guess. Now, these disciples, their question is, Rabbi, who sinned? So Jesus sees a man born blind, and then the disciples ask Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned? So what's the assumption? I mean, just let's think through. What's the real question?
I think they're looking to blame someone for what they consider the physical suffering. I mean, I guess that's more of a broad. I definitely think they're looking to blame, to cast blame, or just wanting a reason for it.
So
I don't necessarily, because they're not necessarily seeing a sinner, because it could be someone else's sin, but they're definitely seeing and looking for, you know, to blame something or someone for what they consider the result of sin, maybe.
So I'm thinking, what do you think? I think maybe they're making an evaluation of whether it's better to be able to see or not see. That one
That's
reality
true, yeah.
is actually better than the other. So they're saying...
That's right, they're making a judgment.
Yeah, their judgment is that they're in a better situation than that dude because they can see.
I didn't want to start off saying that, being born blind is not necessarily a bad thing. But it's really hard to not say that. I mean, to say something like that, that's...
Yeah. I mean, I think in our, particularly in our society, I think that there's an assumption that pleasant things are good. Pleasant things are better than unpleasant things. So if you have a nicer house as opposed to a not as nice house, which one is better? Which one is more good? Well, the nicer house. If you have a job that you love, it's better than having a job that you don't like. One is more good than the other. If you like the taste of your food, it's better than if you don't like that. Better than if your food tastes bad. I think in our whole way of thinking, pleasant and enjoyable things are better than unpleasant and unenjoyable things. Comfort is better than suffering. That there's a sense of good is what we want. What we want is good. This happened to me this week, actually. And I fell in the trap. I have desperately wanted to build this deck in my backyard, right? And so I invested dozens of hours getting all the county permits and everything else. I even went out and it's on a steep slope. So I dug all the holes for the posts. I hauled the concrete up and down the hill. I engineered a system. The whole time I was trying to get my homeowners association to tell me it's okay to build my deck. And so then the homeowners association finally meets on Thursday night. And they just say, oh, no, not only not now, but never. We will never approve anything like this. You're dead to me, more or less. And so I get that response. Well, first of all, the gal that was on the phone telling me, I said, well, you guys just need to lawyer up because I'm going to build the doggone thing. I'm building this sucker. And you could just tell them, stick it in their ear. Maybe not those words. But
sure.
But my first response was anger because this was unpleasant news. Which for me means bad news. And then, of course, that means who sinned. Surely somebody has sinned here to stand in the way of what I want to do. So I don't know. I didn't want to make it sound as if somehow I'm thinking these disciples that talk this way to Jesus are that I'm better than them. But they come to him and they see somebody who's in a situation that they deem as less advantage than their own. And the explanation they come up with is somebody had to have sinned. So who sinned? This man or his parents, that he should be born blind. So there's a deep assumption they have. And then Jesus replies and he says, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but it happened so that the works of God could be revealed in him. So what the disciples saw with the earthly light was an unfortunate situation that must have been caused by sin. But the actual situation that was there is that there's this person who was born with a very special characteristic that he couldn't see. And because he couldn't see, that was actually better because it allows him to be in a position to show and reveal the works of God.
So the purpose of this, what we would consider unpleasant, like, I mean, in some ways, this is the, I guess, the purpose of suffering, whether it's caused by our own action or not, or whether even we perceive it to be true suffering, right? I mean, if it, in some ways, we're making this judgment, but whatever it is, this thing, this unpleasant nature, this unpleasant event, whether it's caused by direct sin or not direct sin, the purpose is for the works of God to be, you know, manifested, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Everything that we are confronted with is an opportunity for the works of God to be revealed. So then Jesus says, it's necessary for us to do the deeds of the one who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. And then he says, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. So in this particular case, there was a man who was born blind, unable to see physical light. There was disciples who saw the physical light that highlighted that man's situation, and they were blind. They were blind to the opportunity that this man's blindness has to show the works of God. So they couldn't see it. And then Jesus, the light of the world, illuminated for them, showed them, explained to them the circumstance that was in front of them and how that is actually an opportunity for God's work to be manifest.
Yeah, wow.
So in my case, until this conversation, I never really thought of the deck. It's already been more than 18 hours, and I hadn't thought of it at this point as an opportunity for the works of God to be revealed in me and my yard. You know, my nephew's staying with me right now, and he's seeing the way that I'm responding to this.
Yeah.
And struggling to have a sincere and honest perspective on it. Maybe that's helpful for him. Maybe it's actually the fact that my deck isn't ever going to be built, even though I've planned and worked so hard for it, and I really thought it was good. I even asked 300 people to pray for it, and still the answer is no. I really need Jesus to shine the kind of light that only he can give that shows me how is this difficulty or this opportunity that I don't have that I wanted to have, how is this thing that I can't do somehow an opportunity for the works of God to be revealed in me?
Yeah. So what if, I mean, I guess the question I'm thinking of now is what if they actually give you a final no?
They already did.
What if lawyers don't get involved? And what if the end result is you actually don't get to build this deck?
So that's actually what I've decided. So I told her I was going to tell them to lawyer up and I'm moving forward and all that. But that was just on the moment bluster, and I probably need to call and repent. But but actually, the more I've prayed about it and thought about it, they're within their rights. You know, I signed up. They're within their rights to do that. I'm part of this communist organization that that owns the stuff that I thought I owned. And I need to just, I just need to suck it up and accept that I'm a man under authority and the authorities are making decisions I don't like. And I just need to prayerfully receive it and move forward.
So how will the works of God be revealed if it doesn't happen, like it's looking like it's not going to happen? So you're saying what you need to do. But for me, like, I'm thinking, how are the works of God going to be revealed? I mean, is it possible to know, or is it just kind of a waiting?
I mean, for me, the fact that I have asked so many people to pray and that so many people have been on this journey with me, when I'm able to accept the reality as it is, it makes sense to me that maybe God is going to show people how to deal with life when it doesn't go the way you want. Maybe I'll be able to handle this in a godly manner that represents people who walk with Jesus, submitting to authority they don't agree with, who represents people that live their normal lives. They do the best they can with the tools that they have. And somehow that shines the truth that God is at work in me in a way that looks miraculous to somebody. So it's more than healing the situation with the deck. It's healing Randy, the man born blind.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that He has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where He is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.